Welcome to Aisle 7. My name is Savage, and this is my beautiful wife, Lethe. You want to go ahead and say anything?
Hi, my name is Lethe.
And we at The Cove right now, our home base of operations. Here on Aisle 7, the podcast, it's really about free-flowing conversation with a little bit of structure. We don't want to make this too formatted, but at the same time, we want to give you guys something worth listening to. So, you know, if you feel like it's disinteresting in any way, shape, or form, we apologize about that. But as far as a full disclosure, you know, if you have any children or anybody under the age of 17 without adult supervision, go ahead and get them out the room. This does contain explicit content and adult content, so we just want to make you guys aware of that. So please go ahead and make that move now. We'll give you guys a second to do that. 3, 2, 1. Okay, good. Me and my wife are the hosts of Aisle 7, the podcast. And really, we don't have any guests right now. And the stuff we feature as far as on this show is really about the stuff we're interested in or things that our listeners want to talk about or brought up. We would like to thank our sponsor, Anchor, for the support by distributing our podcast for free. We here at Aisle do not take that lightly. So please, Anchor, just please know that we really do appreciate you guys doing that for us. Today's episode is dedicated to the memory and family of Mauni Pahulu and also the young men involved in the accident that took place in the Bay Area, California, back in December. So our thoughts and prayers out to the families, and rest in peace. We want to go over a few things that as this, you know, this show flows, so bear with us. Me and my wife are very active. You know, my wife has played rugby, football, has worked out with me, but we're pretty active, and likewise, I'm active myself. So we always try to promote health, whether it's mental, physical, or spiritual. Get in your Bible or get in your word, or, you know, pray. Or if it's, you know, mental, go ahead and read, play a game, do puzzles, talk to people, have a free conversation, and really get to know people out of your comfort zone. And then likewise with the physical, really get out there and work out, man. Get your blood pumping. You don't have to do anything too extreme, but, you know, walk every day, 30 minutes, 2 days out of the week, man. Really get active out there. And that's really, you know, we do push a lot of mental, physical, and spiritual aspect in this this podcast. So be aware of that. Mm-hmm. We do this part of the segments that we're going to go through real quick before we get to the real juicy stuff, which is conversations. Our thought of the day that you as a human being should really take in consideration, as me and my wife do, is what can I do as a human being to brighten someone else's day? Once again, that's what can I do as a human being to brighten someone else's day? You feel that, babe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a thought for you to really just kind of ponder and really meditate on. The song of the day is by Yellow Man, Love Letter. That was released in 1982. So give a listen to it. Meditate on it. Add us on IG, which is Aisle_7_thepodcast. And tag us to you and your story listening to the song and really giving us a feel on how you feel about that. Mm-hmm. And attacking negativity, the thought of negativity we want you to attack today is doubt.
Yeah.
Listen, if you don't think you can, fuck you. The world itself already says you won't. Wake the hell up and find your grind. When you do, kick doubt's ass every day by working and learning yourself. Our color of the day is green. If you see it, say it. Our person of the day is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Get really good on your research on him and do a little reading on him if you know if you're not aware of who he is. And if you are, you know, it never hurts to touch up on some old matters, you know what I'm saying? And that was person of the day. Our quote of the day. Do you want to go ahead and read that?
Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
And that comes by way of the great Iron Mike Tyson. Yes, everybody does have a plan, unfortunately, until you get punched in the mouth. Then you got to sort of rearrange some things, right?
That's right.
Our goal of the week here at Aisle 7, the podcast, me and my wife try to set minor goals so we can attack the bigger goals.
Yeah.
And our goal for this week...
The little things that counts.
Yeah, definitely the little foxes, right?
Yeah.
Our goal for this week is to at least receive feedback, negative or positive, from at least 5 of our listeners. Mm-hmm. If we can get at least 5 of our listeners or more... to hit our Instagram page and tell us what you thought about today's episode, you know, we would greatly appreciate that.
Yes,
thank you. So yeah, that's our goal of the week. And somebody we want to highlight on today's episode is Instagrammer Definitely an influencer. Very comedic guy. Funny as hell. Go ahead and look at the Instagram page of Mykolow. That's spelled Mykowlow. And check the dude's content and just smile, man. The guy is loaded with laughter and humor. And I appreciate him for that. So shout out to you, Toko. Our video of the day comes by way of, if you're on YouTube by any chance, look up Kung Fu Casting Fails. Once again, that's Kung Fu Casting Fails. Go to YouTube and search that and have a great time laughing your butt off. Well, this is the part of our segment before we actually start the show.
No.
You have any opening statements that you want to make? Anything you want to make a statement on?
The one thing that you read out is just stop doubting yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And just do something about it.
Okay. Definitely my opening statement is you know, don't talk about it, be about it. And with that being said, before we get into today's discussion, this point we're getting into, I call it the point of prayer. And whatever you pray to, whoever you pray to, or even if you don't pray, we're just asking for a moment of silence and meditation and really think and reflect on what you want to do in your life. And even today, so that you can start something and execute it every time you get a chance to. So we're just going to ask for a few seconds of silence before we actually start our discussion, starting now. Okay, so.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know what I'm focusing on.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank us, you know, Jah Almighty for always being there for us.
Always.
Now, our subjects for today. We got seven. Obviously, you feel the theme, seven. Me and Savage. My wife, the explanation but behind Isle 7, right? So me and my wife, our families obviously originated from the islands of the South Pacific, specifically the island of Tonga, the last monarchy in the South Pacific. And we are first generation born here in America. However, we come by different ways. My wife was raised in Tonga. I was raised here in America. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's really the origin of the word, the name Isle. And then seven is just our lucky number. We've always had that in common since the day we met.
Yep.
And it was just kind of freaky when she said her lucky number was and my lucky number was. So Isle 7, the podcast.
And another one is one of our kids was born on the 7th.
Yes.
Was crazy.
We don't have to disclose that, but.
Yeah, but.
Yeah. So our seven subjects of discussion today. We got 1, school and prison. 2, the firmament. 3, old myths of monsters. 4, missing history. 5, black culture versus white culture. 6, preparation of our kids. And 7, faith or Christianity. Mm-hmm. What do you want to talk about? What are you leaning towards out of those 7 subjects?
Let's start with the 7, faith.
Okay, faith. I want to do black culture versus white culture. So we want to play rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah, let's
go. So I'm for black culture versus white culture. You are for faith versus Christianity.
Okay.
Ready? Taha ua tolu. Oh my God, okay. So my wife won. She got scissors, I got paper. And so we're going to go ahead and speak on faith versus Christianity first. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and start our timer because we are very considerate of your time as much as you are of our time. So we thank you guys for not only listening to the podcast, but for tuning in. And thank you once again.
Thank you so much.
Time, so you want to go ahead and start? Do you want me to follow in?
I'll start.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'll start up as far as like faith. For me, growing up, I grew up in Tonga, the island of Tonga, and I was born out here in Compton, California. But
shout out to Compton.
Got sent. I got sent back home. Personal family stuff. So I got sent back to Tonga to live with my grandma.
Shout at the out to time. Grandma.
So being out there, touching up on going to church and stuff like that. Church and that's how I built my faith from there. That was the number one thing that everything you do out there. Was
faith driven?
Faith, yeah, everything, and then even
was
like
it faith or Christianity? So just ask.
Christianity, but I feel like faith plays a part of it.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a distinct difference. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you can be a Christian, but if you don't
like lack faith.
Yeah, lack faith.
Oh,
so Anyways, for me, I was so fortunate to grow up with my grandma because, you know, she was she was really strong in her faith.
Amen.
And just going to church. And so in Tonga, it was a little bit different because God first in everything. What I mean by that was all the stores would close on Sunday. I'm not sure about now.
You're not doing anything.
Anything at all. You don't go, there's no job open, like no job. Everything is closed out. And for me, that was normal out there for, you know, because everybody knew that Sunday is set aside for God, set aside to you to go to church. And then coming out here 10 years later, there was no day set aside.
Yeah, it wasn't as important or prominent. Hey, it's Sunday here in America. Yeah. We're gonna watch football and go to barbecues. Yeah.
But as I learned my walk in Christ and I got to have a better understanding, I understand being out here and being in Tonga, you can set any day aside for God. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be Sunday. But if you set a day to strictly be on God, then hey, by all means. But I had to learn that to understand that. See, when I was in Tonga, Sunday you don't do nothing. And I almost did the same thing by taking care of my, like, raising my kids, you know, to, because that's all I knew, I was gonna do the same thing to my kids. So for me, faith, that's how I was introduced to faith, to having to believe in something, you know, having faith in the things that I do and having faith in God and believing there's a God, you know, and things like that. So that's pretty much what I touch up on, like what I got from
it. I'm feeling it.
And why faith was so important to me, because if you don't have faith, you really don't have.
You're just acting on like pure your understanding.
Yeah, my understanding of faith. And that's my own opinion. Now, okay. I'm not knocking anybody who has no faith.
You're just giving us your take on how you feel about the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I agree with you to an extent.
Yeah.
However, what I don't agree on is following a tradition, right? Because I feel like that's where Christianity falls.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I had wrote this subject, faith versus Christianity, I believe everybody has faith.
Yeah.
Whether you believe in a higher source or something created us or your ancestors or an animal that, you know, brought creation, whatever it is, that's faith in itself. Christianity or religion, the problem I have with that is that, okay, my family originates from the island of Tonga.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing growing up was that we were always supposed to go to school and learn, right?
Yeah.
And when I went to school and learned, one of my favorite subjects I fell in love with was history.
Mm-hmm.
History taught me a lot. And I became so passionate about it because not only the truth in it, but how history often repeats itself.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing about it was like, I remember the book, it was like Greek myths, mythologies, and legends. And I remember reading about gods, the gods of Olympus in Greece. And there was Zeus, the god of the skies. And there was Hades, there was Poseidon. There was Bacchus, there was Ares, there was Aphrodite, there was Hephaestus, Hercules, the demigod. And I was so interested in it, right? And then I remember it being in Sunday school and asking about Zeus and getting beat for it in Sunday school, like in my Catholic church, because I grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, there's only one God. And, you know, he's white. They didn't say he was white, but they had pictures of a white Jesus everywhere. And, you know, and I would always think like, okay, well, he's white. And then he died on the cross and we celebrate Easter.
Yeah.
When Christmas comes, we celebrate Christmas because of him. We open presents and gifts. But I really had no understanding or no context behind that.
Yeah.
So, but I always had this lingering thing about why my interest in multiple gods versus this thing that was pushed on me or forced upon me of one God. So fast forward, now getting closer to my faith versus religion or Christianity, was when I learned about the Tongan people and the Tongan history and heritage and our culture. Before pre-Christianity, when the Christians came to the islands, we believed in multiple gods.
Yeah.
We believed in multiple gods.
Yeah.
What I also learned in history was that the Mayans, who are miles away from us, believed in multiple gods. The Incas, the Aztecs, the even in Asian mythology, as far as I believe it was the Japanese, maybe somewhat of the Chinese, they believed in dragons. Yeah. Not just one, but just, you know, the mythology of dragons. And then, there, of course, there's Greece. And then there are African folklore and myths as well of them believing in multiple gods. In Egypt, they believed in the gods. So, and it, even in Norse mythology, you got Thor and you got Odin, you got Loki. But that was always my problem, was how are all these cultures so far apart yet so similar and find a commonality in their faith, right? But then, I don't know, throughout the centuries, I want to mark the point around the 1700s where all of a sudden Christianity starts to mobilize. You find the Crusades. What else? I had my notes, but I don't have them on me right now. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it would start to be forced upon us. And then I find myself coming back, so speaking on my own personal account, where it's like, I would always get in trouble for going against the grain and asking questions that were dangerous considerably in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
You know, that's blasphemy. You know, it's kind of like treason. You don't ask those kind of questions because that's not the truth.
Yeah.
You, if you sin, you go in confession, you say three Hail Marys, this and that, and you'll be okay. I'll go back to the club and sin and do all this stuff and come back. I'm good because I can repent. And, you know, then there's the stories of exorcisms, demons, and, you know, Mary the Virgin. And it was just crazy. And then I lost interest in that.
Yeah.
And then I got into my own studying and my own research, and I fell farther and farther away from the Catholic Church to a point where I remember me and you, we were arguing. You always had this thing about you where you just had to go back to church, had to go back to church, had to go back to church. Well, go ahead.
I think that's why faith for me was, it wasn't even about what religion I was going to join.
You knew you believed in something.
I had an urge in my heart every time I went away from it was, there is a God. I believe it because I see how passionate and how faithful my grandma were growing up, and just praying every morning, and you know, just believing that, you know, one day I'm gonna see God. You know,
yeah.
And that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah,
that's how I would see him. I would see grandma would do that, and I think for me as a little girl, that's why I keep referring back to that, because I didn't. Every time I went away, like,
you're getting really passionate
about
it right now.
Yeah, every time I would go away and, you know, nothing felt complete until I was at church. And it didn't matter to me what church I was in. It was either Catholic, Mormon, Methodist, whatever church that, I always felt like this overwhelming in my heart whenever I would join a church, and it didn't matter what the church and where it was at.
Yeah, just
it was
as long as you built
that
up.
My faith was in it. My grandma really put that in me to where I had faith that even now, man, going back to my walk now in Christ is like, I'm grateful that I was trained up that way, you know. And I believe it. I don't know what verse it is. I forgot, but. You know, if you train up your child in a way you want them to be,
yeah,
you're gonna
train up a child as you want them to.
You train your child.
As far as shout out to our mentors.
Yeah, shout out to my pastors, yeah, man, because a lot I'm still learning.
They're always speaking
but
life into us.
I felt like I was prepared those times to where I'm at now. Yeah. You know, and without faith, I wouldn't be where I'm at. Today.
No, I totally agree.
And that's exactly why I find it so like a strong subject for me, and I'm passionate to speak about because of how far I came from it. So
yeah, no, definitely. I'm glad you elaborated on that, because when it came to like really trying to be about this Christian walk, right? Because me and my wife, we are Christians and
we're believers,
and we're really trying to learn this walk, and we're. Studying scriptures, we're still babies, but we do believe in Jesus as our Savior. It's just that I myself have a lot of questions, all right? And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I don't really have the time or resource to talk to anybody about it, regardless of my views on it. But you know, I love my pastors and my mentor. He's always speaking life into me. But that day when you were going to church, I remember so driven. I'm like, why are you leaving? Leave the kids. Why do you have to go? What the heck? and you just went. You didn't even explain. Like, I felt like you were being not possessed, but something was really guiding you. Something was pulling you, right? And I remember going with you, and I was like, man, dude, like, church did nothing but mislead me. It led me astray, and I just really lost myself because of the Catholic Church and that abuse towards me and my faith, right? And I just remember you going, and then I just remember, like, dude, what are we doing here? Sitting down, and all of a sudden, this man coming up and just speaking. And the way he spoke was, like, literally different than anything I've ever heard in my life. Different than the Catholic Church and how we approach things. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, dude, this guy's talking about Jesus, but he's talking about it from his view. Like, he's being transparent and putting, like, the talk and the walk together. He's talking and walking. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So they always say talk the talk and walk the walk. Well, he was doing it. And at the same time, people were listening. I was definitely listening because of how he was using his own life.
Oh, yeah. It was a slap on your face that day. I remember.
And I just remember I got hooked since then. And then now where I'm at in my life is like, dude, I definitely believe in God. The thing is I still have those questions in my heart. And why I say that is, like, one thing I learned here going to church, and shout out to our church. I don't need to disclose that, but if you're listening, you know who you are. Shout out to our ministry. Shout out to just the whole camp, the whole squad. We love all y'all. We represent. We try our best to represent. But I still got those questions deep down in my heart. You know what I'm saying? Because I definitely now understand I have faith more than I know religion.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a lot of where Christians are out there being misled by people who teach the wrong word. Yeah. See, I do believe we're under grace. We're under the message of grace, which is what we're learning, whereas the people are still operating under the law. See, what I've learned is that, you know, Moses brought in the commandments, which represented the law, but none of us as human beings could fulfill the law.
I mean, a part of the law was how I was raised, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for those law because
it still worked.
It still worked.
But that's not for us anymore. That was for a time where people in the story in the Bible was for them. We now operate under grace. And I love that because he puts in our mentor puts that in such context that I get it. And that's where I believe my faith is, right? See, like, I have a faith that's so strong now because I've been brought through we went through storms and seasons just recently.
Oh, man.
Just to make it out the other end. And I can honestly say that if I had to give a testimony right now, man, I would break down in tears because of how true it is. Like the definition of faith: complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Right?
Let's go. That's faith. That's what I'm talking about.
Right? It doesn't say anything else but that.
Yes.
And then the definition of religion: the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. Mm-hmm. Now, that kills me because, like, I've operated in religion for a long time in my life. And if anything that I got away from it, and I can admit this, I was judgmental. I was controlling. I was very uptight about my circles and who I affiliate myself with.
Yeah.
And to a point where, like, it made me into this person I really wasn't. And what I hated about myself at that point in time, I was so critical about everything because if it wasn't to what the church believed in, I couldn't put myself around it.
That's why I couldn't label a church as like a religion for me, because then it get me out of my faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I'm under a religion. I'm looking at the religion instead of the
faith. What does the religion want from me? What does the religion need?
So because I operated with my faith, it didn't matter what's the name of the church, whether if it was Methodist or that, because the one thing that I did way before I even got the understanding now was I have to give my tithing.
Yeah.
But that's because of what I saw from my grandma, you know what I mean? And I had that faith so strong that I'm so grateful that
definitely. Like, When speaking on it, I try not to get emotional on it in the fact that, not like I'm going to cry, but emotional, like I get so upset because of how weak-minded I was, right? Mm-hmm. Because people were really manipulating me and utilizing me in the church. Like, no jab at the Mormon church, no jab at the Methodist church, no jab at any other congregation or affiliation or in the denomination, but at our church now, currently, that we reside in, see, me and my wife, we're here, based here in Las Vegas, Nevada, and we rep it to the fullest, but there are lost souls out here, and you get these corner preachers, and, you know, you hear them giving the message, like, you know, death to gays, or, you know, we are in the end times, and if you don't come now, God, our God of wrath will bring hell upon you, and it's like, to hear all that, man, it's like, what is there to expect good of the Bible, if that's all you ever give is the bad parts? You know, that's not our views. We have nothing against any gay
There's
people.
No knocking
we have nothing against people who don't even believe in the Bible. Yeah. We have nothing against no peoples. But however, what I am against now is if you're out there preaching the word your way, you're going to lead a lot of people down the wrong path. And that sucks. So with this faith versus like religion, I guess more when now we're getting clear of it, it's not really Christianity, but faith versus religion. There are people who are using the Bible to benefit themselves versus what it was meant to be used for. You get what I'm saying? So like, I'm just at a point where I'm in full agreement that if we just believe as human beings, even if you don't believe in what we believe in, if you just believe in something higher than yourself, guiding yourself, you know, it makes life not only easier, but you find more understanding that there's things happening behind the scenes that you cannot control. That's just straight up the point. And I would rather have faith than operate in a religion that is not to my benefit.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
If I'm guaranteed to go to heaven and all I got to do is believe and put forth the works, that's what I'm going to do. It's a lot easier than what I used to do back then in the days. So I definitely believe in God. I definitely believe in Jesus, our Savior.
Yes.
I don't believe he's white. And I sure as hell do not believe that, you know.
He's tongue. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, well, whatever he is, I believe in him. But the way he's been watered down through the years, which are my own thoughts. If you ever want to talk or have this debate, go ahead and hit us on our social media page, Instagram. And we will definitely have this discussion a lot more thoroughly. But that's where my faith versus religion kind of goes to, is that it was forced upon me versus where I'm at now, you know, where I can freely worship and hey, just give thanks, man. Thank you for this new car, or just thank you for opening that job opportunity, or, you know, thank you for that and this. And man, I love it. You know, I just love giving it to the fact that I trust in him. I fear nothing else but trusting in him.
What's our next subject?
Yeah, we kind of came, that was pretty quick.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I chose black culture versus white culture.
Go for it, because we still have a lot to cover. We're running out of time.
Wow. Damn, like, don't rush me. This is our first episode. What the hell? Are you in this or not? Because, I mean,
I'm hyped up. That's why I got a lot of great ideas in my mind right now.
Well, you can flow, but you ain't got to say that shit. God damn. Sorry, listeners. Sometimes me and my wife, well, this, feel no offense, this is how me and my wife's relationship is. We get real rough around the edges.
Yeah. Roof!
Yeah, so black culture versus white culture, we can cross out faith versus religion. But black culture versus white culture, and what I mean, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's Martin Luther King Day is on Monday, okay? And you know how I feel about black culture. You know how I feel about black people in general. I love my black people. I love black culture. But one thing that really sucks is, like, there is this dynamic here in America, even in 2020 as of right now, that it's a black thing and it's a white thing. Mm-hmm. And whatever you are, regardless if you're not black or you're white, you're in between. Don't try to take yourself.
Stuck.
If you're an American, do not try to take yourself out of the conversation, or don't try to take yourself out of the table. If you're an American and you came here for the same reasons me, my wife, and our families came here as an immigrant. Immigrant. If you come here.
You listen to my color to my Shout out to my color.
But if you come here, you got to understand and you got to agree that you're in the conversation regardless if you're trying not to be. Because one thing about being American is you carry the American issues. These are our problems we have to deal with.
That's right.
And if we don't own up to it, who will? And that's how things become a bigger mess and a pile on and pile on and pile on.
Yeah.
So what I mean by black culture versus white culture, right? When I was growing up, I lived in a predominantly ethnic neighborhood or urban neighborhood or the community or the ghetto or the hood or the projects or the lower side, lower income side of town or poverty or impoverished. I was always around blacks, Mexicans, some whites, Asians, whatever, but we were always grouped up in that setting. I grew up in Southern California and Northern California, and I've seen it from the bad to the good. And one thing that was always prominent was, like, wherever you went, you noticed that the lower income side of town was always where the ethnic stayed, and the higher, the high-end living side of town was always white, you know? And why that bothered me was that my grandparents, they came here to America just right after, like, right, it was about 15 years after the Civil Rights Movement. And my grandpa and grandpa still we're back in Texas or in Florida, still there were still old places where they had colored sections and stuff like that. And that's a trip to think we just came out of that. That was just a few years ago for us, but my grandma and my grandpa faced that back then. You know what I'm saying? My grandma, who's a lot darker, and my grandpa, who was a lot more fair-skinned, were dealing with such issues. Whether they looked Mexican or looked black, they were treated like such in the way they looked. And I'm not going to try to spark no controversy, but they were automatically grouped into a group, even if they didn't want to be. And yet they still had their outlook on black people and white people. And it's like, hey, grandma, grandpa, you guys are a part of this conversation. You can make your judgment on those people. You can make your judgment on those people. But either way, you're also being judged as well. Don't try to pull yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Now that they passed away, and it's just my mom now and her brothers and sisters and me and my brothers and sisters, one thing that's still prominent to this day is those issues still exist. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For instance, in the Tongan culture, we always say, Fie Palangi. What does that mean?
You want to be white.
Yeah. Or Fie Uriuri.
You want to be black.
So,
or fear anything. You want to be something.
Or if you hear whitewash or blackwash, these are terms we identify with because when growing up, you were either classified in that group or classified in that group. You were either black or you were white. But we couldn't be Tongan. We couldn't be this. We couldn't be that because those were the two major classes. So either you're mixed with that or you're mixed with this. We could never be our own class. Hell, for instance, people still think The Rock is full Samoan. No, he's half black. You know what I'm saying? And the crazy part about it is most people don't even acknowledge that part of it. And why I use him as an example is that's kind of what we deal with. It's like, oh, you know, they're bigger black people or they're bigger Mexicans or they're bigger Asians. But it's like they kind of come out fair skinned. It's like, yeah, we had our islands got colonized a little bit. Tonga wasn't, but at the same time, you know, the European blood still mixed in. So either way, we look like both sides, and then we get caught up into this whole, like, unseen debate that's going on in America, and then if you're grouped with those people, you're looked at a certain way. You know what I'm saying? So how do you feel about that?
You know, I can't really relate to the black versus white. One, of course, I'm not one of those races.
Because you were raised by a white person.
But no, listen, can you let me speak? anyways, so I wasn't here when all of that happened.
Yeah.
So
would you say you felt
really,
the effects?
No. But I'm going back to when it did. To me, it wasn't really like a big deal because of the lack of understanding that I had, you know, coming from Tonga to here. And when I did come out here 10 years later, at the time, my mom was working for a guy named Bob as a caregiver.
The most generic white.
Yeah, and the most like racist white guy I've ever met in my life. But he meant well because it wasn't. He wasn't racist. Like, I mean,
you
he
just
was
caught him at a time that he was coming from that too.
See, his parents were so like against any race, like,
interracial,
and. What's so funny is that when my mom got to work for him, and I was able to meet this guy, and of course he down the road he did take care of me. It was the look in people's face when me and him would be at
in public,
you know, was like this black girl and a white man. You know,
yeah, my wife does look black.
I
mixed,
get that all
so
the time too, but it's
a lot of Caribbean references as well.
So like I would be with him, and I remember as a kid then.
Ooh, you kind of did. Where you man?
Not you. I remember when we would be in public, like, cause my mom would bring him with us when we'd go to the store and stuff like that. And
look like y'all robbing him,
and people would look at us like
it's a blended family.
And for me, I didn't get it, but for
you
him,
so young, you
he
just
knew.
Weren't even aware.
Yeah, for him, he knew.
That's
he's
powerful.
Like, he always be telling me like, sit by me, cause people are gonna treat you different, and people
already made
did.
Their judgments.
Like I'm talking about black people looking at me like, what are you doing with that white man?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that I had to deal with. But I didn't
that's
know how serious it was until I got older. Like, I remember Bob telling me, like, you can't be with black people because this and this and that, you know? I gotta go get you name brand shoes because black people and white people are gonna make fun of the shoes that...
Yep.
And the mentality that he just put in me was, I was like, it doesn't matter.
He was Americanizing you.
Exactly. So, for me, the reason why I can't really say I can relate to that because the time that I was in Tonga... all of that happened, I didn't even get to experience, but I did firsthand when I found where my mom worked for him, because then he conditioned my mom's mind to think like a white person. Because then my mom started believing.
Hey, your mom is nowhere near fair skin.
Oh, let me tell you something about my mom.
Relax with all that shit. With her high ass heels.
My mom is like started to act
she's
like
she's definitely
him.
She's started, the definition of whitewashed.
Pretty much, because that's what Bob did. Bob was in our lives.
Lick at English. And...
Bob was in our lives for.
I'm just saying. I love my mother-in-law.
Bob was in our lives for 20 years.
Shout out
and
to
that's
Bob,
a
man.
That's a lot. That's almost half of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he conditioned a lot of things that my mom was doing. You know, my mom would like Bob would hate Obama. My mom would hate Obama. You know, and it wasn't thinking
it's so
for herself.
So crazy you said that.
Hold on.
My mom the same way, but I'll elaborate.
Hold on. And please stop interrupting me.
Look, you can wear the glasses, but you ain't official. Don't think you wearing the glasses. You're intellectually inclined in this conversation.
So my mom would do things like, you know, we gotta go to Costco because we can't go to Walmart. You know, because you know,
we're not lowly like
yeah,
them.
We're not low. But then when we would go to public, then people think we're black. You
yeah,
know, and
that's,
it's
that's
not
the, that's the
and that's
demographic.
The thing.
You with them, you look like them, you with them.
People
you,
would ask me if
you're
I'm black.
Under them.
People would ask me if I'm black, and I just go along with it. Because it was like, I don't need to explain myself, you know? But because of the idea that you guys already had that I'm with a white man, my daddy's probably white, you guys just assume, like, we can't talk to you because you're around that white man, you know?
They probably thought your mom, Bob was your mom's sugar daddy or something.
Pretty much. I mean, I got a lot, even with my friends, my uli-uli, I'm black friends.
Yeah, uli-uli meaning black.
Yeah.
In the Tongan language, that's black, and Palangi is white, or hina-hina.
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 Yeah. So my uli-uli friends
sorry,
in high
my
school.
Tongue is broken.
My black people, my black friends in high school, they'd be like, is that your mom's boyfriend? And I used to get mad low key, but I mean, that's just what our mind is thinking at that time, you know? And I was like, nah, my mom works for him. And they're like, what kind of work? She just takes care of him. Yeah. Oh yeah, well, they're together. Yeah. You know, so Bob really take care of me and I love him with everything in me. But man, the things that I had to go through firsthand is being with this white man who doesn't like black people.
Yeah.
You know? So, that's what I had to deal with.
I definitely appreciate you, like, really putting detail to that, because...
I forgot one thing, though. But the sad thing about that, us people who's not black and white, we're caught up in it. We're definitely in between.
If you don't choose the side, you're in between either way, and then it's still a part of
you.
Yep. No, thank you for putting detail behind it, because I definitely... always had to deal with that with you was like, you know, not recondition your mind, but like make you more open-minded to the fact that I wouldn't say I was broken, but you at times you would think I'd have a case of misidentity. Like, dude, do you know your Tongan? I know I'm Tongan, but I grew up a certain way. Mm-hmm. I'm not denying the fact that I'm Tongan, but I grew up in a predominantly ethnic neighborhood. I grew up with my Mexicans, I grew up with my blacks. And the crazy part about it was like, my mom worked for, my mom's a caregiver. And that means she's in the business of taking care of senior citizens, which means when there's people who, you know, can't take care of their own parents when they get, you know, elderly or older in age, they drop them off in the senior homes.
Yeah.
Well, my mom does live-in. So that means she takes care of your parents, whoever's listening to this, no offense. When she takes care of your parents, she's taking care of them at their home. And one thing my mom adopts along the way is their culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because she hears the way they talk, she hears the way they think.
She spent her life with them.
She thinks
day.
That's the way she needs to be because she's
them.
Siding with the conversation. Like I said, black or white culture. And one thing is my mom is for Trump. Not understanding that Trump's not for you. But yeah, you're over here supporting the views of your boss who pays you because they're for your boss. They're not for you, mom. And I had the conversation many times. Shout out to my mom. I love her to death. But at the same time, you're not Palangi.
Yeah.
That's just the truth of it. You're not going to receive those same white benefits. And what kills me about it is like, I'm in a position now in this generation to make sure I don't mislead my kids, that they don't see color as an issue, that no matter what, you don't judge a person based on their race or their color. You judge them based on character and how they carry themselves.
Yeah,
that's where we're at in society now, that this generation can really turn that around. Mm-hmm. But we're still facing things like racial remarks, racism, politically correct. Yeah. Like I can't even say white to a white person or black to a black person without being considerate of the fact that, wow, why you say it so like that? Why you say it so harsh? It's like, dude, what the hell? Relax. It's not even that serious. But you still got to consider the fact that you might be insensitive to somebody.
Yeah.
And the sad part is, whether you choose or you don't choose, you're always a part of it, no matter what. That's what it means to be American these days. Yeah. And for me, it's hard because I grew up with that more ethnic group that I saw each struggle. And I related to each struggle because it was the same. Like, for instance, black people, they have what's called a sauce drawer or a packet drawer. And in that drawer, it's in the kitchen. It has ketchup. It has a sweet and sour sauce. It got mayonnaise. It got all the packs that they say from Taco Bell and all that stuff. But we in the Polynesian culture have that too. We just don't call it in the packet drawer. Even in Latin culture, they put water in their ketchup when there's a little bit left just to add more. You know what I'm saying? And the crazy thing is, we all share that because we all come from that side of living. Whereas in the richer side wouldn't understand that kind of struggle. But that's really the sad truth of it, is that eventually when we get to the higher side of living, you know, we come out of that poverty set of mindset, but at the same time, we know what it meant to come from the bottom. And as far as this black versus white culture, I've always identified with the black culture more than I've identified with the white culture, because they were there with me. I was there with them when that stuff was happening. Mm-hmm. And also, I took black African-American history courses in college and Chicano history. So I always learned a little bit more about myself, about the Polynesian Panthers in New Zealand, and how we all struggled in the same fight, no matter what nation you were from, what country you're from. If you were colored, you were looked at a certain way. This is not me to promote anything against white people, but at the same time, it's like somebody's got to own up for it.
No. So there's nothing against either one. The thing that I love about Bob, mm-hmm. personally, was I was relating to Bob in a way. He was seeing the way he grew up.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have what he
had.
Bob
was still a loving man.
Yeah, because of how he grew up, he saw me as a
his own daughter.
No, not only his daughter, but he was seeing what me and my mom and my family are struggling in. That's what he had to do. He had to work like how many jobs mm-hmm. to support for their family. So, yep, that's what. I got from it.
Oh, okay, cool. So yeah, I mean, elaborating more on that, like black culture versus white culture has always been this thing in my mind where it's like, as far as whether you identify with this group or you identify with that group, the truth of the matter is there's got to be a resolution. We've got to figure this out. And I think us speaking from the Polynesian community is that we have friends from both sides. And the sad part about it is we've seen both sides struggle and both sides make their rise to the top. And either way, we get identified with either group. It's just that when it comes time to actually see the truth and speak the truth, a lot of us are really not ready for that when it does happen. And, you know, it's shocking sometimes. So
yep.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
You want to move on to another subject?
Yes.
Okay. So we got school and prison, the firmament, old myths of monsters, missing history, or preparation of our kids?
Preparation of our kids.
Okay, would you like to speak on that?
Yes, preparation of our kids. The reason why I chose that, it's really relating to me other than the other subject.
Mm-hmm.
More, I stick out more, because faith is like the first one for me, then family and all that. But the reason why I'm speaking on that, being that I didn't have my parents, which we'll touch up in on that later on other episodes. I've always wanted to be the best mom for my kids because of, I'm not saying my mother wasn't a great mom, but I didn't have.
You didn't have a good figure.
Not only a good figure, but we didn't connect in the way that I connect with my daughters, you know? And for that, parenting is very important to me. It's my priority other than God first, you know. Mm-hmm. Always making sure that my kids are taken care of. Always making sure that I watch what I do around my kids. Always making sure that I'm not burdening anyone else other than myself, because of that is my responsibility as a mother. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And with that, that was the lack of things that my mother had was, you know, she had a personal thing that she dealt with, that when she sent us to Tonga, that mother-daughter relationship was done, you know,
yeah.
The minute she decided to send us back to Tonga. But there was good things that I got from it. I was able to pick up the culture, pick up the language and things like that. And I am the woman who I am today because of all those things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I wanted my mom there physically. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You're speaking as far as why it's so adamant for you to be a great mother to your kids.
A mother to my kids. Why parenting is very important. No
one prepared you.
Yeah, because what I went through was so hard that I don't think my kids would be able to handle that. You know, and so as a mother now, I watch what I do. It's important for me.
You study and observe.
Yeah, not only that, but even the influence around my kids is very important to me. Not saying people out there are just bad. I can't have all this, because some things you can't control as parents, you know. But at the same time, I have to be very honest. It's very important to me to guide my kids in ways that they don't, that I'm not repeating the same mistake. So,
okay. Well, I definitely feel that, because one thing I've always known about you is that you and your mother never had a great relationship, mm-hmm. but you guys understand that you can work with each other.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you always say this funny joke about you and your mom, your insider, is like, we grew up like roommates. And I always find that funny, because it's like, I have that kind of relationship with friends and associates, but I never felt that way about any of my loved ones. And it's weird that that's your mother and you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely feel that that's why you prepare your kids the way you do,
mm-hmm.
because you don't want a lack thereof,
mm-hmm.
because no one did it for you, and you know what that did to you.
Yeah.
So that's really important. I'm glad you spoke on that.
What do you feel?
For me, when it comes to preparing our kids and why I take it so serious, is because I've seen and I've been through the worst that the world has put me through, just me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not speaking on anybody else's account or anybody, you know, because on this show, Aisle 7, the podcast, we speak our truth through our experiences and anybody else we bring on. So I don't want to make it seem like, oh, I've been through the toughest struggles. No, I haven't. But at the same time, when I went through those struggles and stuff, it was because I had a lack of parenting. I didn't grow up with my mom and dad together. My dad wasn't there, and that's a story for another time, but I love my dad. And I didn't grow up with my mom because she had to go and work, so I grew up with my grandparents and my auntie and uncle who raised me. And a lot of the stuff I faced in life, I interpreted different than most kids who had parents. So I had to go that much harder than most of those kids, because nobody was going to teach me or give me the lesson like a mother or father would. And yeah, there were really low times and dark times, and I learned. But at the same time, I see my kids and I see the potential that they have.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, bullying. I'm not for bullying. But at the same time, I don't want my kids to be bullied.
Yeah.
So I train our kids to protect themselves. But at the same time, understand that don't ever use this ability to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Use it only necessary when to protect yourself. And if you see something wrong being done, do the right thing and stick up for that person. We always push this on our kids and pray that into existence. And I think one thing that's really important about that is that we always try to instill it in them and really, like, make sure that they get it. Because one thing is, nobody told us how to do that. We learned the hard way. It's not that they're not going to learn the hard way. At least they have a hint or some help behind it. Our daughter, our oldest one, straight up savage. Like, I mean, in the best way possible. She is tough, but at the same time, caring. So she's not too rough, but at the same time, she's not too soft. She knows how to carry herself. She's very smart and intelligent, but very loving. Our son, who's the best version of me that I could have ever imagined in my life, and I thank God for putting someone like that in my life, but he's so much smarter than I ever was. I mean, the things he's going to do, he's really going to help the world, and I'm so grateful for that. And then our youngest, Jesus, you know how strict I am.
and how much she takes advantage of me, but she's such a breath of fresh air because she always keeps us on our toes. And I love their different personalities, but at the same time, they got to know who mommy and daddy is and how much we love them, but at the same time, how much we're going to correct them. And no matter all that set aside, if you don't believe in God first, we're not really a family, because that's how this family operates. So
that's right.
That's what I think of as far as preparation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have anything more else to speak on that?
No.
Okay. So we have left is the firmament, myth of monsters, and then school and prison. So, I mean, it's really, I don't mind. I can always talk about this for days.
You pick. I already picked the last three.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm gonna speak on the firmament.
Okay.
I'm gonna read this excerpt to you so you can understand. It's gonna be real quick, so our time's really going right now. But maybe we'll elaborate more on this on a later episode. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And evening, the morning were the second day. The firmament, as far as what conspiracists would consider, imagine that the world is a dome. It's not round, it's flat. And because it's flat, there's a dome over it. And in the Bible, it describes that this dome basically separates the waters from above from the waters below. We being below the earth and the waters above being heaven. And that there's this space in between called the firmament that separates us. Now, flat earthers, people who still believe that the earth is flat, believe that this is how the world actually looks and how it operates. What do you think about that when you hear that?
So the heaven is the top,
yeah,
and then the bottom is what?
Is earth. I'm going to show you. Here's a picture.
And then the middle is?
It's a dome. It's basically a bubble that separates.
Who's in it?
We're in the dome.
Oh, see,
this is what I'm saying. Look, that's what it basically looks like. So that's the firmament. I'm even going to show you a picture of it so we can see. This is what they say it
they're
looks
saying,
like. For flat earthers believe. That's in the Bible, by the way.
That is crazy.
Now, I was recently on the Tough Block podcast. Shout out to our brothers, Monix and
Tough
DJ.
Blocks.
And I had openly discussed that I was interested in flat earth. And this is affiliated with flat earthers is the firmament, because this is how they view the world. And it says so in the Bible that this is how it was described. Now, granted, scientists throughout the years have proved that the earth is round. However, there's also hoaxes behind that say we never really went to the moon. And because if we didn't go to the moon, that meant there was a dome that stopped us from going to space. Why are you smiling so much?
Because it just opened my mind to a whole different...
Oh, yeah, it opened you up. Yeah, so... No, but that's...
You know what's so funny about that, though? You tell it to a Tongan, like...
They're going to look at you.
No, they're going to look at you like...
Yeah.
World is flat.
The world is a circle. I'm going to punch you in your face because you're being very stupid right now. Eh? What the hell is this
honestly,
shit right
I have,
here?
I have no comment on it because...
Yeah, you look overwhelmed.
Yeah,
honestly.
Because I just don't know what...
Let me ask you just real simple before we end this episode off. Do you think the world is flat, or do you think it's round? Round as a sphere, like a ball.
Flat.
Why do you think that? Are you thinking that just because I said it?
No. I just feel like there's heaven and we're the earth. Like, there's nothing else under. There's no dome, no none of that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I just think of it as like, this is heaven and we're right here. Do you get it?
Yeah,
like,
no,
there's
I totally get it.
There's nothing else on the bottom, like, at all.
Well, we'll elaborate more on that, but
yeah,
because we're coming to a close in our segment, that subject we just we're leaving off on, we'll probably speak on another episode, probably episode 2. We hope you enjoyed this episode, this first episode of Aisle 7, the podcast. It's a little different, I do admit. I hope it was interesting. If not, go ahead and please just give us feedback.
Yes.
But I'm Savage Island. This is my beautiful wife, Lethe, aka Mrs. Savage.
The real Savage.
We hope we didn't confuse any of you. If we did, please hit us up on our Instagram page, Isle_7_thepodcast. And feel free to elaborate on what confused you or if you enjoyed the show. But we want to give out some mentions right now and shout outs. So mentions, definitely we want to mention my brothers down at the Tough Block Podcast. Yes. Really inspired me to do this with my wife.
To do this, yes.
Man, for the love and support, thank you guys.
And Usos. And everyone else is trying to go through this.
That's what the shout outs are. So shout outs to all the Polynesians pushing something, whether it's any kind of market or business. Putting yourself out there and really just throwing something at the wall until it sticks.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the podcasters, all the clothing lines,
YouTubers,
all the food industrialists, lotions, whatever, artists, whatever you're doing to get yourself out there and really be passionate about. Because I think that's the important part, is that if we're passionate about it, people will really follow it. That means it's a good influence, and we're all about positivity here on the Isle 7. And we just want to shout everybody out. Like, definitely some of the few podcasts I definitely want to mention and influences are Sippin' Coco, For the Cultures, Sorry About It Podcast, Toki Ukamea, Tough Block Podcast, obviously, Kavacast, Takalapu, Hela Vela Podcast, all the podcasts, but even all the influences as well. Mike Colo, this dude Laugh With Pack. Man, people are out there just really putting themselves to work and really making the world a better place through technology and social media. So we want to say thank you for that.
Thank you guys for that.
And this part is the last part, but I call it the final feast. And you just kind of give a closing thought or a conclusion before we end this.
Yeah, before we end this, I just wanted to let you guys know this is so out of my comfort zone. And I wanted just to let people out there who's still dealing with not trying to be like, be free or just be yourself and speak, because you don't know who's really dealing with something out there. You know, there's people out there that go through things that I as a person know and might have gone through it or whatever the case may be. Just know, man, do something for yourself.
Yeah.
Love yourself first, because then everything
else. Have a passion behind it.
And have a passion about it. Also, you know, if you believe in it, it doesn't matter what anybody else says.
Okay.
You push for it and get out of your comfort zone. If it's uncomfortable, know that you're at the right place.
Yeah.
So that's what
I wanted to say. Okay, my closing statement is definitely, I just want to tell you guys, thank you for supporting us. I may have felt a little rushed. We'll try our best to refine this more and more the deeper we get into it. We're pushing for 12 episodes as a full season. That's the goal, honestly. And we're looking forward to it. But I just want to say, God is good.
Yes,
God is very good, and I want to wish you the best. I want to pray over you the best, and hope you're in line to get what you received because of how hard you work for it. And if anybody else doesn't believe in it, we here at Isle 7 definitely believe in you.
Yes.
With that being said, above all else, for me and my wife to you guys, Jah bless.
Jah bless.